This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing Michelle Scribner MacLane. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Who is living her dream through her career as a professor of science education at UMass Lowell, marathon running, as well as becoming a podcast host. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you, Joe. Happy to be here. And congratulations on your new podcast.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being on. We have so much to talk about today.
Joe, we always have so much to talk about. Today or any other day.
That is very true. So why don't we get started by giving your background to our audience?
Sure. Well, I grew up exactly in the area where I live right now. I haven't ventured too far. I grew up in the Boston area, 10 miles north of Boston. And right now I live in Nashua, New Hampshire, which is everything in New England is really close by. So it's about 30 miles away from Boston. And I grew up a kid who was very much a science geek. And I was very lucky to live within a train ride of a really cool place in Boston called the Boston Museum of Science. And I ended up working there for about 20 years, all through teenage years, all through high school. When my friends were working at McDonald's, I was at the museum working with some really cool scientists and science educators. And I did pretty much every job you can do at the museum. I worked in the live animal center. I sold tickets. I worked in the library. I worked in the laser shows at the planetarium. And then eventually I got to teach my own classes, mentor other teachers, and even led safaris to Africa. So that was the beginning of what later turned into my regular career as a elementary teacher and then eventually as a science educator at the university level training new teachers. So that's it in a quick nutshell.
Wow, that's an awful lot to fill in with. How did you get started with running?
So running, actually, I've only been running for about 5 years now. And what happened was actually it was a kind of a sad situation, but we turned it into a good thing. My brother Mark and I started running to fund a special initiative at my mom's hospital, Spalding Rehab in Boston, Massachusetts. She was dying of colon cancer, and she was a really inspirational person, a nurse there. She'd been a nurse for 35 years. And we wanted to think of some way to honor her. And we talked to her before she passed away about the idea of having a fund in her name, because there's no professional development for nurses at the hospital at all, even though it's affiliated with Mass General. It's a world-class hospital. So my brother and I decided, eventually she did pass away, we created the Marlene Scribner Spirit of Nursing Award at Spalding, which 10 years later, it continues to go on. And every year a nurse is awarded a trip to a professional conference, and they come back and teach their peers. And then we have this really cool ceremony where we hear what they did and then choose the next person. So anyway, what happened was my brother and I looked to our family and friends in lieu of donations and flowers. When my mom passed away, we asked for donations to this fund, and we got it endowed. And one of the things that I did is I ran my first half marathon at Disney. And my brother ran his first marathon, the Boston Marathon, and continued to do Ironman and things like that. And between the two of us and lots of supportive family and friends, we endowed the fund. But in the meantime, I went from not really liking running, I've always been athletic, to really enjoying running and learning about the running community. And it was, as somebody who loves Disney, it was a nice way to connect my love of Disney with my love of exercise. So it's continued from there.
How many races have you run since then?
Oh boy. It's hard to say. I would say 30, 40, 50. I don't know. I run a lot. I run a lot of Disney races. I also run a lot of local races. I would say the shortest distance I've done is 5K, and that's the shortest, the fewest number of races I've done. I run mostly half marathons. I would say probably, I think the last time I counted was about 15 half marathons. I have two more coming up in the next month, so that's going to go up quickly. And I've done several 10Ks, and I've done three marathons. And I went from somebody who said I will never do a marathon, it's not even on my radar, to looking forward to the next one. So it's been pretty cool.
Wow, that's great. That's an awful lot. It's a lot more than I've run.
And I've gotten you to run too, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, anyway, it has to be all you, but convinced you a little bit to run.
Yeah, I mean, I was only planning on doing one half marathon for the Princess back in 2012, I think. So I've definitely expanded on it. I mean, joining the running team and being a part of a community has been a lot more fun than just going outside and running just for the sake of running. Mm-hmm. So how did you turn that passion for running that you originally didn't have into turning it into a podcast about running?
Well, that's a very good question. So along the way, I got help from a very dear friend of mine, Mike Scopa, from the WDW Today podcast. Mike lived in the next town over, and I didn't really know how to approach running a half marathon, and he has a world of running experience, and he sort of virtually coached me through it. We'd meet every once in a while and have lunch and things like that. But he coached me through running that race. And then he and I were both writers on allears.net. And he wrote about running. And then when my mom's fund became endowed, I wanted to think of a way to capitalize on the excitement of running Disney and our connection with Disney, because allears.net, for people who don't know, is focused on all things Disney. And I wanted to, one of the things that was missing for me for my first race is I ran it all alone, and that was okay, but Disney races are very big. I know you know, Joe, but they could be up to 26,000 people. So I kind of felt lost in a sea of other runners. And so I thought fundraising and the support that Mike gave me and the idea of running with other people sounds like a good combination. So Mike and I created an idea for a running team called Team All Ears. And we went to All Ears founder Deb Wills. And we said, we knew she is a breast cancer survivor, and she ran for, did the Avon Walk and supported Avon. So we said, how about if we get together a group of people who might want to run together and train together to contribute to your fund? And I remember having discussions with Mike, wouldn't it be cool if we could raise $20,000? Wouldn't that be neat? So that first year, I think we had about 33 people on the team. And the team went for 5 years. And in the end, the team raised, in the whole 5 years, we raised $300,000. So it went from 33 people to over 100 people in its last year. And it became a really wonderful running community. So getting back to the podcast, during this whole time, Mike and I were helping to coach people. You know, running wasn't something that I felt like an expert in, and just like teaching or any other thing that you want to be good at, you have to practice it. You're never quite there. You're always looking at how to improve. But we were giving lots of advice and helping people think about running Disney, because running Disney is a little different than running any other races. So we eventually said, hey, why don't we create a podcast where we can, we're not expert trainers, but we could sort of field questions, interview interesting people related to Disney running, have inspirational runners come on the podcast, talk about their journeys, have people who are experts in nutrition and experts in running. And we've been able to do that. The podcast right now, after I finished recording with you, we have two more podcasts today that'll bring us just to about 175 episodes. And we have it's been a wonderful experience for us. We've been embraced by several thousand people, and we have a really nice community. So that's the very long answer to your very short question about the podcast.
Not a problem. That it's a great story, especially raising all that money for all years. I didn't even realize that you two actually started the running team and approached Deb Wills about it. So that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, it was my idea initially. Then I went to Mike and sold it to him, and then he and I sold it to Deb. So that's how it became about. And so now that All Ears is over, we just decided it was time to start something new. So we have a new running team called the Mickey Milers, and people who are running with the Mickey Milers are going to be donating at least $50 or raising $50 to give kids the world. And Joe, you're a member of the Mickey Milers.
That I am. And I've as of today, I've raised probably closer to $250.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta get that updated on the website, because I got a lot of donations to roll into it. But I think right now it says $170, but I'm pretty sure I'm over around close to $250.
Yeah, so it's running Disney. It's running with other people. We have a special Facebook page just for the Mickey Milers. There are about 230 of us at this point. And it's running for, you know, a reason. You're running for this wonderful place, Give Kids the World. So it's a nice community. I think it's all about building community. I know one of the focuses of your podcast is how do you get your dreams to come true. And I was listening to your first podcast where your friend Al?
Yes, Al.
Was talking about how he had a lot of support. And I think that is one of the ways that you make your dreams come true. You know, whether it's I'm going to go out there and walk a 5K or I'm going to run the Boston Marathon, my philosophy is always tell people what you want to do, and people will – even if they just say, good job, I support you, that's going to help you get to where you want to be. But a lot of times they'll have other, you know, maybe they'll know somebody, or maybe they'll have an advice about a new type of sneaker or some little support. I think these communities can really help people achieve whatever their goals are. So it's kind of exciting.
Well, it makes me feel like a part of something much larger. Again, you were saying that being very lonely out on the Disney runs, and that's very true, because it's very dark and it's very long stretches of road. In between, there's lots of characters and stuff like that, but there's very long stretches of road where if you're running by yourself, it definitely does get lonely.
And I'm not saying I always run with other people now. Frequently, I don't. But just to be able to say, hey, we're all going to this race together. You know, I've seen you, Joe, at the beginning of races, just to see somebody there and like, hey, good job. Have a great time out there. And, you know, maybe see them at the end. You just feel like, and we have team shirts and things like that. You just feel like, as you say, you're a part of something bigger. So it's a nice thing.
Real quick, why don't you describe what Give Kids the World is?
Sure. It's a place that's based in Orlando, Florida. It is a village. There's a place called Give Kids the World Village. And the idea, and I'm not a volunteer and I don't represent Give Kids the World, but the idea is that kids and their families who are suffering through life-threatening illnesses can go to a place for low cost or free. And it's a place for them to celebrate their life and have a low stress time with their family. They might get support to go to the theme parks in Orlando, or they might stay in the village. I haven't been to the village, but I hear it's spectacular. Some of the things they do are they have ice cream for breakfast. They have characters who come and visit the kids and do tuck-ins. And I have a very dear friend, Karen Skilling, who's been volunteering there for 20 years. And you and I, Joe, and a lot of our friends really love Disney, love the magic of Disney. As a former elementary school teacher and just a human being, I love kids too. And I thought Mike and I both discussed this, and we thought this would be a great charity to support for our running team. So.
And it is, and I'm so glad to have found out about it and to be able to support it through my project, Adventuratorium, and hopefully through this podcast as well. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So what exactly inspires you?
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about the theme of your podcast, about dreaming, and I don't actually think I'm a dreamer in the way that you're talking about dreaming. The way that I've always gone about life is I just do what is really interesting to me. And when I follow where my interests are, opportunities have opened up. So, you know, starting with my time at the Museum of Science, my parents didn't have a lot of money, but they took me to museums. And I just wanted to go back over and over again because I was really interested in science and interested in this really cool, dynamic place. And that led me, my intense interest led me to a job there. And then because I enjoyed my job, that led me to other things. So I don't think, I know when I was 15 years old, I didn't say to myself, when I grow up, I want to be a college professor teaching people how to be science teachers. But I think the things that inspires me is just things that are really interesting, interesting to do, interesting people. I'm really curious to learn about people. I'm that person who you might sit next to on a plane and just really, I want to hear about like where you're from, what's your career, you know, what are your kids' names? I'm just very curious that way. So, but in terms of what keeps me going, it's mostly just my interest and my need to connect to other people, I think. One thing that I said at my mom's ceremony last week is, you know, in terms of heroes, my mom was my biggest hero and continues to be my biggest hero. Even when she was really sick with cancer and she was just had about a month to live, she still worked as a nurse. And what she said to me was that she always felt like she could do more. That was the thing that kind of kept her going throughout her whole life as a nurse and as a human being. And I think I know that that's my philosophy. That's what I think of every day, whether it's working with my own children, working with my colleagues at the university, working with my buddy Joe or anybody on the running team. I always feel like I can do a little bit more, and that's what I want to do every day. So that kind of is my mantra. You know, even if I'm just driving on the highway and somebody needs to cut in front of me, I can be a little nicer. Do a little bit more. And I'm certainly not perfect, but I really do try to tell myself that every day.
Yeah, well, it takes time and effort to be perfect. And, you know, practice.
I was just watching Mary Poppins last night when she's using the measuring tape. Practically perfect in every way. I would love to be that way, but...
So how did your family and your friends receive starting a running team then, you know, then starting a podcast?
How did they receive it? You know, I've done so many really interesting things in my life that I don't think it really is surprising. I'm always ready for like, what's the next thing that I'm going to do. So, anybody who knows me well, I don't think it surprised them at all. I went from just really being interested in Disney to writing about Disney to running Disney to starting a podcast. So I don't think it surprised them. I'm very lucky to have a lot of supportive people around me. My brother is a huge, huge cheerleader. At this point, he's done 17 Ironmen and, you know, he's always out there cheering for me. In terms of the podcast, Mike and I get a lot of support from a lot of different people. We have volunteers who just step forward, really, and dear friends, but also just very nice people who also want to help other people, who do things on the show for us just out of the goodness of their own heart. We have Rich Gehring, who does show notes. We have Alex Armas, who helps us with our questions that we get, helps organize our questions. We have Eddie McCoy, who does everything and, you know, helps us with ordering shirts and things like that. So it's been overwhelming the amount of support that we've had. And so I think the reaction is just like tremendous support. I haven't had anybody who said that's a really terrible idea, because one really cool thing about our podcast was that there's nobody else doing it. There's a niche for everything, and there's nobody doing a Run Disney podcast. So with these races selling out in hours and 26,000 people at every race, there are a lot of people who want that information. So the support's been overwhelming, including from you, Joe.
Well, thank you. You know, actually, I'm having Eddie on later tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're recording later.
Nice.
So what steps did you take to get started when you started running? And then what steps did you take to get started with your podcast?
What steps did I take? So, well, I found somebody who knew more about it than I did, which is always a great way to get started with everything. So I met Mike through All Ears. I started talking to other runners, and I'm a very curious person, and just, you know, got books about running and started reading about running and just started running. In terms of the podcast, well, Mike has been a podcaster for, oh God, I don't know how many years now. He's up to 1,300 episodes of WDW Today.
Yeah, that's how I know him.
Yeah, yep. And he's pretty famous in that world. And we have one of the podcasters who's just a really sweet guy. Mike Newell was very helpful in answering questions. Also, another tech friendly, a friend of ours, Fred Block, was just fantastic in terms of helping us think about the nuts and bolts, microphones, and hosting the podcast and things like that. But the rest of it, I really just rolled up my sleeves and figured it out myself. I figured out iTunes and how to record and things like that. And then it's just been practice. You practice interviewing, you practice, you know, working with somebody else. You get, especially when you're co-hosting, you get a rhythm together. One of the things that Mike and I figured out when we're not podcasting together is having FaceTime on at the same time helps us to facilitate the podcast, because we can look at each other and kind of point who's going to ask the next question. So just little things like that. Just practice. Lots and lots of practice.
Well, it's that go-getter mentality that really brings to the table.
Yeah, but for me, I'm not a go-getter because I want, you know, I always laugh with Mike, you know, we're not celebrities. We're doing what we're doing to help people. But the two things that drive me are that need to help people, but also just because I'm very interested in the topic. So for instance, we get to interview Jeff Galloway. By get to interview, I mean, we asked Jeff Galloway, who is a former Olympic runner and the Run Disney race consultant, we asked him to be on the show. Now, once I get past the idea that I've just asked a very famous Olympic runner to be on the show, the thing that drives me is that I'm just really curious about this guy. Like, this is a really cool person. And now I have a chance to ask him whatever I want to ask him in terms of running. And then it turns into just my personality, because as I said, I'm curious. So it's a nice gift to be able to say, hey, you want to come on the podcast? But really it's just Michelle being really curious and maybe nosy.
Well, you got to ask, you know, everything starts with just asking somebody.
Yeah. And again, getting back to my mom, that was one of her, credos, like it never hurts to ask. So what can people say? No. So, and I think that's important when you're working towards something, is that you have to be able to just get over that nervousness about asking people for help. Because I have to say, Joe, that we have done this now we're into our probably finishing our second year in the fall. I have had zero people say no when I asked them to be on the show, and we've had all sorts of celebrities. We've had long distance, people who run these ultra run events. Everybody's been fantastic. So it couldn't have been a better experience.
So when you were getting started with running and then also with podcasting, were there any roadblocks that you ran into?
Roadblocks with running. I think with running, it's all about you having to motivate yourself. So I've had a lot of roadblocks in terms of injuries and things like that. I've had stress fracture. Right now I'm dealing with something called Morton's neuroma. I've had IT band issues. I've gotten to know my physical therapist in this town very, very well. And then there's weather. I live in New England. So running, when I just trained for my last marathon, which was Boston, my long run was 20 miles or 21 miles in a gym on a track. So, you know, you have to, sometimes you just got to push yourself through these things. But in terms of the podcast, I think probably the biggest obstacle has been money, because it does take money to put it together. And and when lots of people are downloading it, it costs more money. And we're not doing this to retire, believe me. But the podcast was in the red for about a year. And then I wasn't comfortable with getting sponsors, but we, through some help, again, we have two great people who put together our website, Eve and Phil Vanderpool. Eve is a marketing person, and she helped us kind of think about how would you get a sponsor? So we have modest sponsorships from three different places right now. And it just, you know, I wouldn't say we're in the black, but it helps with race fees and things like that, because we like to get out to as many races as we can to report on the races for people who might be interested in. So I think that's been the biggest thing, is just to kind of do the advertising and marketing, because it's not something that I feel super comfortable with, and it's not where I have a lot of experience, and Mike either.
So was there any parts of your dreams that didn't quite work out?
Well, I don't think it's a kind of a work out or doesn't work out type of thing. At least for me, I see is sometimes things morph into what you didn't expect it to. I know that, you know, I continue to have goals for myself. I haven't met all the goals that I want. But I wouldn't say that they haven't worked out yet. I just haven't done it yet. So one of the things that I'm really trying to do right now is to work on weight loss and also on speeding up. And so, you know, I've had some successes and failures, and I'm looking at my failures and kind of trying to regroup and move forward. So, in terms of those things, I wouldn't say that I've had any failures, just maybe bends in the road that have, you know, maybe they lead to other things that I wasn't expecting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's a very positive way to look at things.
I'm not, you know, I'm pretty happy overall with especially with those areas. You know, one of the things that I just mentioned is growing up in the Boston area, grew up watching the Boston Marathon. Bill Rogers actually lived in my hometown. And when I was going to school, I would see this guy just running all over the place. And I always thought, who is that guy? Well, that was Bill Rogers. And I don't know how many times he won the Boston Marathon. But even when I started running, I thought, there's no way I could ever do this race. And after the bombings last year and having a marathon or two under my belt, I said, I really want to try to do this. And I want to run for Spalding, the hospital that I mentioned. So I just did that. And it was very hard. It was very hard. And I didn't do as well as I wanted to. But you know what? I did it. I actually started running in mile one. I thought, what the hell am I doing here? What was I thinking? But you know what? Whatever it is, whatever your challenge is, you have to dig deep, and there's a place that you have to go that you have to do. You know, you can get all the support in the world that you want, but you have to go there and kind of find out where that place is, that dark place. And getting through that gives me confidence to do other things. And I feel very proud of myself personally of that achievement, but I also, when I finished, I could say one of the best parts of that whole day for me was seeing my 14-year-old son and seeing the look of pride on his face. And as a parent, you want to teach your kids that they can overcome obstacles and do things that are really hard. And he saw how hard that was for me. And he's talking about running marathons too. So that was hard, but it was so amazing in so many ways. So I'm happy I did it.
So do you have any dreams for the future?
No.
No.
No dreams for the future. Just the things that I talked about. In terms of running, I want to get a little bit faster. I would love to keep the podcast going as long as we can, keep it evolving. I want to continue to make it interesting and relevant and fun and have fun doing it. We're still having a lot of fun doing it. In terms of running, you know, I'm middle-aged, so I'm not going to the Olympics. I just want to get a little bit better and learn a bit, little bit more and help more people do this. So, I think those are my goals for that, and stay healthy, you know, in terms of my running.
So do you have any last thoughts to share with our audience?
I don't know. I feel like I've already shared a lot of thoughts. I think, if you have a dream or a desire, or you have something that you really want to do. I think everybody's different, but my approach is always, it takes a village. Share it with people. I know, Joe, that you're very good at bouncing ideas off of people and getting different perspectives. I think that's very helpful. Know that there are going to be roadblocks, but really try to make small little steps to. My brother always says, if you have something that you want to do, make sure that every day at the end of the day, you can say, I did one little thing to make that happen. You know, whether it's look up a website or talk to somebody or, you know, save a little money or whatever you did. And I try to remember that. I think that's really good advice.
I think so, too. I think that's very inspiring. Well, you want to plug your podcast?
I think I already have.
Well, one last time.
Okay. It's called the Mickey Miles Podcast. It's available on iTunes. And it is a podcast about all things Run Disney. It's hosted by me and by Mike Scopa. And we release our podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. They're about, I don't know, between 20 and 45 minutes in length, depending on what's going on. We have question shows, we have interviews, sometimes it's just Mike and I, often it's with other people. We pull in, if we don't know the answer to something or we know that somebody has a lot more knowledge in that area, we pull in other people. We talk about gear, we talk about Disney races a lot. We preview them. We do a post-race. Usually one of us is at a Disney race or one of our team is there. And it's a lot of fun. I don't know. What would you say about the podcast, Joe?
It's a wonderful, inspiring show. And I enjoy hearing, especially with all the guests that you have. You know, you hear crazy stories like when Eddie McCoy, and was that Rich that ran in Atlanta and then drove down to Florida, to Orlando?
Michael Miller.
Oh, Michael Miller. That's right. That's right. You know, they drove down after running a full marathon to run a half marathon in Disney. Somewhere in Georgia, but
yeah, I think
Georgia somewhere. to Orlando in one day and ran, you know, a full and a half. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And they did it with such a smile on their face. I mean, seeing them during that race was awesome. You know, they were so encouraging to everyone else.
Yeah, and we talk about, you know, having dreams come true. Eddie McCoy and Michael Miller are just two, and Rich Gehring too, and so many of my running friends. They're just so giving of themselves to other people, just there as cheerleaders, supporters. I did the Dopey at Disney. If you don't know what that is, it's the 5K, the next day 10K, the next day half, and the next day full. So I ran the full marathon with Eddie and that group last January. And it was just all about the fun and the experience. And I was definitely the lowest common denominator in terms of running speed. And they were just like, let's have a blast. And they're just such a fun and giving group of people. So I don't know, Joe, if you would agree, but I just think Disney runners are just really, they get life is about fun and enjoying each other. And it's cool to hang out with those people.
I would agree. I mean, nobody seems to take it too seriously, at least maybe because we're too far back in the corrals. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Michelle.
You're welcome. Anytime. And I wish you lots of good luck. I know it's going to be fun.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun so far. And there's plenty more where that came from. All right. Well, take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co. Have you ever wanted to share something with someone just because?
Well, we do a lot. So we started a podcast about, well, whatever we want. My name is Joyce.
And I'm her lovely husband, Al. Well, you know what I mean. Hey, it's me, Al. Listen, I'm hijacking the Just Because podcast to start a new series all about the wonderful world of voice acting. Each episode, I'll have a professional voice actor on and ask them some serious, hard-hitting questions to get to the bottom of this in a world. You know, world. If you've ever wanted to know about the inner workings of this magical and mystical business, tune into Just Because, Inside the VoiceOver Studio. Tune in at justbecausepodcast.com and on iTunes.